Well, each month we take a look at our meat export numbers, see how we're doing. It's been a pretty impressive run, especially considering the headwinds of a worldwide pandemic. We have the numbers out now from August, and joining us with those numbers is Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Yes, good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
So I'm looking here that the pork exports are still on a record pace and beef exports over $1 billion. That's a pretty good headline there to start off with. So things are still looking good on the meat exports, even with the challenges we're facing.
Yeah, Mike, without a doubt. I think the trend lines we've been talking about the last few months continue. As you mentioned, beef was a record value. First time we've ever been over $1 billion for a single month in total exports. But I think the real theme here on both beef and pork is it continues to be the broad-based growth. I mean, on the beef side, you know, got China and Japan with record exports for the month, but you got a lot of other regions that are contributing: South Korea, Central America, Mexico, and it's the same story on the pork side. You know, you have some pretty big numbers on pork from Mexico, but Japan, Korea, South America, Central America are all contributing. So I think that's really one of the stories here, that it's a lot of countries contributing, and demand in general is very, very solid.
Yeah, that's certainly encouraging. That diversity of markets certainly is important, so you're not so reliant just on one market. So when we look at pork, we're still on a pace for a record. Is that right?
We are. Yeah, we've been saying all along that we were estimating 1-2% growth over last year's record, and that's still the case. We were up 4% year on year for the month of August. As we look to the last quarter, we're pretty confident we will have a record. And the other thing I should have mentioned earlier was, these muscle cuts, and pork's a good example. We're down 20% in the month of August for China. These are the same trend lines we've seen on muscle cuts for several months now. But the good news is that the variety meats are up big. And China and Mexico are the two largest user of variety meats. So we don't often talk about these variety meats, but on the pork side, 25,000 tons, up over 20%. And on the beef side, they were up 20-some percent as well. So, this is another opportunity to capture value that is really, really starting to shine.
We're talking with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. So, Dan, we talk a lot about the headwinds of the pandemic, and obviously now transportation supply chain issues. How big of a challenge has that become?
Well, it continues to be a very big challenge, and it's not just in the West Coast. You know, we've been talking about the West Coast, especially Long Beach area, for quite a while. But we're starting to see backups on the East Coast, Savannah, the Gulf Coast, you know, Houston, et cetera. New Orleans, another one. And it's not just containers. It's availability of chassis to move containers. It's the availability of truckers to move the chassis that move the containers. But then it's also, we're continuing to hear of backups in the Asian ports as well. So it's really a global situation. And now the good news is that there's more and more awareness of this, more and more focus on trying to see what we can do as an industry. And it's not just ag, it's textiles. It's a lot of industries are affected by this. So I do think that the increased awareness, both politically and commercially, is important here.
But unfortunately, I mean, we've been talking about this for some time. It doesn't look like it's going to be rectified soon. This is going to take a while.
It's going to take a while. And we're in the peak import season for things like textiles, clothing, a lot of toys for Christmas come from China. You know, there's examples like this. We are in the peak import season, which is compounding the problem a bit. But But that being said, once we get close to the end of the year and into early 2022, the import situation goes away, and we're optimistic that we'll see some improvement over the next 3 to 6 months. But yeah, it's going to take time. This has been building since last year, and it's not going to be solved overnight.
Dan, we keep hearing about the spread of African swine fever. How big of an issue is that? And the fact that it keeps popping up, so obviously it's not contained. Fortunately, it's been kept out of the U.S., but we know it's always a threat.
It's always a threat. But that being said, I think you talk about a level of awareness. I'm very impressed by our pork industry and our political support from Secretary Vilsack all the way through the government chain. I think everything is being done and being done proactively to do everything possible to make sure that it doesn't get into the U.S. Now, that being said, we wouldn't be very good business managers if we weren't also working on a parallel track of what we would do in case it were to make it to Puerto Rico, for example, or even to the U.S. So there's been a lot of crisis planning in a worst case scenario. Hopefully we will never have to use that, but there is very acute awareness about the importance of managing this situation. And you said it well. We've seen disruption now for the last several years in China, in Eastern Europe, now in the Dominican Republic, and you're right, it is popping up, and we need to take it very, very seriously.
We've talked pork and beef. What about lamb? How are our lamb exports looking?
Well, lamb continues to go forward. They're down a bit in Mexico, but up in the Caribbean. We have a very short a lamb supply situation at the moment, which is contributing to some of that. But once again, we're making inroads also in places like Central America and even in Asia a little bit. So we're always the highest price on lamb globally because of our quality, our grain-fed quality versus a lot of the lower-cost producers. But, that's okay because we're marketing a much higher value product. So long-term, I think the outlook for lamb to increase share globally is a positive one as well.
I know you're always working on demand, but it sounds like demand is good. Right now, the bigger challenge is just transportation and actually delivery of the product then, sounds like.
That is the single biggest challenge, yes. And the demand is not only good, but record-breaking in some of these markets. The other bit of information that's positive and a headwind that we've been dealing with in one final thought here is COVID-19. Asia has continued to be in their fourth or fifth wave, depending on the country. But we have a bit of good news there. Japan and Korea both are looking at lifting their emergency orders that have been in place now for almost 4 or 5 months. And it might be the first glimpse into some relaxation on social distancing and maybe a little bit of relief for the food service industry finally in our two of our biggest markets for beef and pork, Japan and Korea. So it won't happen overnight, but hopefully over the next several months we could see a boost in demand there as well.
We don't talk a lot these days about Japan, so I'm assuming no news is good news, right? I mean, that's still a good, strong market for us.
Extremely strong market, yes. I mean, they've been through a lot, COVID, and they had a shakeup in the government and whatnot. But the reality is that they have one of the largest savings rates in the world, and they pay for quality, and they'll continue to be a good match for the U.S. beef and pork industries.
All right, Dan, good to talk with you. I'm glad that each month we've been able to report good news, strong sales of our meat products, and we'll hope that it continues then. It sounds like it is on track to do so. Thanks a lot.
Michael, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Meat demand globally continues to be very, very strong. But as you heard him say, the challenge now is delivering the product. These are difficult times with the supply chain.